I'd like to offer some opening remarks about the Beltwide Cotton Conference and discuss some of the recent activities of the National Cotton Council. I appreciate the opportunity to participate in these conferences and the chance it gives me to address such a large group of people with cotton at the center of their livelihoods. The Beltwide Cotton Conferences are like no other agricultural conference, especially when you consider the diverse groups that they bring together. Just within the cotton industry, there are producer representatives from coast to coast, and joining them are cotton handlers and processors ranging from ginners to textile manufacturers, as well as those who supply our industry with the wide array of goods and services necessary for cotton production. In addition, leaders from USDA, state experiment stations, the Cooperative Extension Service, universities, and the news media are a prominent part of the conference. And we also welcome our guests from nations outside our borders. A diverse group indeed, and yet this year's theme serves as an exhortation to all of us to work together to address today's challenges and renew our commitment to finding tomorrow's solutions. This Beltwide partnership, which brings these varied interests together, is an undertaking coordinated by the National Cotton Council. We're very pleased by both the continued high quality of the conferences and the improved industry participation that we've experienced in recent years. I want to extend our sincere thank you to the conference's organizers and recognize their hard work and the excellent job they've done in planning these events. The Beltwide Steering Committee, chaired by Bill Lovelady, deserves special recognition for conducting a thorough review of the conferences and making recommendations for its future. Similar to the Beltwide Partnership, the varied interests within the raw cotton industry have for 61 years pooled their resources and through the National Cotton Council identified and met our industry's common goals. The Council's defense of the 2002 Farm Bill was a primary focus in 2003, beginning with the budget debate and continuing through the process of agricultural appropriations. During consideration of the budget, we worked closely with Cotton Belt congressional members, urging conferees to maintain spending levels consistent with current farm law and opposing any altering provisions that might be offered. We're thankful that the final budget measures exempted agriculture from any spending cuts. Council membership responded to a number of action alerts during the agricultural appropriations process. Through the contacts generated by the alerts and in a number of other communications, we emphasized that the Farm Bill must remain intact and any amendment that would alter Farm Bill provisions must be rejected. Those efforts paid off and the House bill contained no Farm Bill amendments. The industry was also energized in urging opposition to payment limitations or any other Farm Bill amendment in Senate agricultural appropriations, and these efforts were also successful. The Payment Limitation Commission, established by the Farm Bill to study the implications of further payment limits, met several times and held a public workshop to receive expert input. The National Cotton Council was active in this process, and NCC President Mark Lang was invited by the Commission to present the cotton industry's position. His testimony focused on the extraordinary damage to U.S. agriculture and the rural economy in general that would result from arbitrary and unwarranted limits on farm program benefits. I'm pleased that we support the Commission's final recommendation against further payment restrictions during this Farm Bill. The Council also helped secure a $3.1 billion disaster assistance program that included $50 million of cottonseed market assistance for the 2002 crop. We joined other agricultural organizations in urging USDA to implement the Conservation Security Program as soon as possible, and we worked with the Agricultural Coalition for Immigration Reform on legislation for streamlining the current immigration process for hiring agricultural workers. The National Cotton Council also developed a strong response to the attacks against the U.S. Cotton Program inspired by the Environmental Working Group and Oxfam. We developed a fact sheet for use with congressional contacts that clearly explains how U.S. agricultural subsidies are not responsible for a world price decline, and we coordinated visits by foreign journalists with American cotton farmers and at the Council's Memphis office to ensure that the case for U.S. cotton was fairly presented. I'd like to extend my personal thanks to the cotton growers who risked public attack in order to set this record straight. Congressional retirements, redistricting, and leadership changes, combined with an aggressive legislative agenda, keep the Council's Washington activities at an intense level. And Council's Senior Vice President John McGuire will provide a more in-depth Washington report following my remarks. An integral part of the Council's Farm Bill defense strategy this past year was an extensive effort with cotton industry leaders to significantly raise the level of CAC funding to support the re-election campaigns of cotton's friends in Congress. This resulted in fundraising efforts in many communities and an excellent industry response. Let me convey my sincere appreciation to all of you who contributed toward a stronger cotton industry through a well-funded CAC. The issues facing our industry this year, combined with key congressional races, make it of vital importance that the cotton industry continues to have a strong political action committee. In 2004, please give generously to CAC and encourage your friends, both in our industry and those who are affected by it, to do the same. In addition to our Farm Bill defense efforts, the Council has focused its attention on a number of important trade issues. In recognition of the increasing influence of trade policy and trade agreements on U.S. cotton's future, industry leaders authorized a major initiative at the National Cotton Council annual meeting 2003. The Council was directed to provide greater leadership toward bringing the entire fiber and textile industries to a consensus on significant textile trade policy. Toward that end, we were instrumental in reaching consensus on major provisions for a Central America Free Trade Agreement early in the year and communicating our common policy to the administration and congressional leadership. Our industry continues to discuss how a CAFTA agreement can benefit the U.S. cotton industry. Unfortunately, there are a number of critical trade issues that need our industry's attention, and all at the same time. We continue to deal with China's lack of compliance with its accession agreement to the World Trade Organization. The Council also registered its concern that China could take advantage of the new U.S.-Vietnam trade agreement by using that country as a transshipment point. We are directly involved with the U.S. Trade Representative's office in defending our cotton program against a serious WTO complaint brought by Brazil. I'd note, though, that a positive relationship with Brazil's cotton industry has continued as a U.S. cotton industry delegation participated in a tour of Brazil's cotton and textile industries this past year. Council Vice Chairman Woody Anderson, who was a member of that delegation, will provide his perspective on the Brazil tour later on. We continue to fight pressure from the international community to single out the cotton program in ongoing WTO talks. While new bilateral and multilateral trade discussions that affect U.S. cotton in different ways must be fully evaluated. As you can see, our trade agenda is very crowded, as any one of these issues could positively or negatively impact our livelihoods. I'm confident that we will continue to rise to each of these international trade challenges. Mark Lang will offer a much more in-depth discussion of the Council's trade agenda later on in the morning's program. While farm program defense and trade issues have been our primary focus during 2003, the Council recognizes that a critical element in achieving the industry's goals for improved yields, quality enhancements, and cost reduction is by our making optimal use of technology. With cotton producers planting 76% of their acreage to transgenic varieties in 2003, the Council has worked for government approval of these products and to ensure that resulting cotton and cottonseed products are not confronted with marketing restrictions. Through the efforts of the Council's Quality Task Force, critical quality issues ranging from short fiber content to moisture management are being addressed. The task force's recommendation that cotton be baled with no more than 7.5% moisture will assure that the fiber's color and quality and other quality characteristics will not degrade from excess bale moisture. Quality loss concerns and potential producer risks were also at the center of the Council's comments in opposition to USDA's interim rule to permit outside storage of loan-eligible ELS cotton. In addition to a special communication to Jenner's, warehousemen, and packaging suppliers, reminding them of the importance of using only USDA-approved packaging materials, improved cotton flow was at the center of the Council's bale management education program to reduce the number of light and heavyweight bales. We also stepped up the industry's campaign to eliminate lint contamination by keeping plastic strings, ropes, and sacks out of seed cotton before ginning. Andy Jordan, the Council's Technical Services Director, will discuss specifics of this effort in his report tomorrow morning. The Council has endorsed EPA's implementation of the Endangered Species Act and provided support for both new product registrations and the re-registration of existing cotton production products. Boll weevil eradication continues on 10 million acres, with only three areas comprising less than 3% of the U.S. cotton acreage yet to begin the program. The effort to eradicate the pink boll worm is making excellent progress during the program's first phase in far west Texas, New Mexico, and Chihuahua, Mexico, and there are plans for program expansion into Arizona upon grower approval. As the Council's export promotion arm, Cotton Council International is continuing its highly effective program dedicated to increasing U.S. exports of cotton, cottonseed, and cottonseed products. With a 27% increase in public support in 2003, the Cotton USA program plays a major role in strengthening key markets in Europe, Asia, Latin America, the Middle East, and Africa. With continued financial backing from the cotton industry, CCI leveraged industry funding at a rate of 5-1. These efforts are crucial given that 65% or more of U.S. cotton fiber and in excess of 4 million bale equivalents of additional cotton yarn and fabric are now moving through export channels. The Cotton Foundation continues its vital mission of encouraging, facilitating, and conducting cotton research and education. The payoff in new products, systems, techniques, and services help the National Cotton Council carry out its mission of providing U.S. cotton industry members a world marketplace advantage. This past year, the Foundation expanded its role of facilitating alliances between member firms and the Council by underwriting several important Council activities. The multi-member sponsorship of the cotton biotechnology and pesticide registration projects are impressive examples of industry partnerships that strengthen our ability to influence the continued registration of essential cotton products. As one of the long-standing Cotton Foundation special projects, the Cotton Leadership Program graduated its 20th class this year. One of the most highly respected leadership development programs in U.S. agriculture, leadership class participants receive a very well-rounded curriculum that includes tours across the Cotton Belt to observe production, processing and research, and visits with industry leadership. Their trip to Washington includes meetings with lawmakers and government agency representatives, and their training includes sessions in public speaking, media relations, and other skills necessary for effective industry leadership and communication. The program requires a significant commitment, an investment in time and other resources from both the participant and the supporting company. And I'd like to commend those individuals and companies who have supported this program in the past. I also urge your continued support and involvement so that all the industry segments may continue their longstanding tradition of offering top applicants for this important program. Clearly, the National Cotton Council continues to devote significant resources to technology development and transfer, as evidenced by the Beltwide Cotton Conference. Bringing resolution to technology-based priorities has in many cases been facilitated by these conferences. In concluding, I encourage your full participation in this morning's and tomorrow's general sessions, as well as the special sessions, workshops, and seminars being conducted both afternoons. These conferences and the papers presented are comprised of the many efforts underway in a wide array of scientific disciplines to lower costs and apply technology to a host of regulatory issues. The success of the Beltwide Cotton Conference can in large part be measured by what you take home that positively impacts your operations. Again, let me remind you that today's challenges are tomorrow's solutions, an appropriate theme for all who are associated with the cotton industry. as we focus our energies and resources in both near-term and future priorities. I hope you enjoy the conferences, and I extend my best wishes for this year.